morning, AWS, and welcome to the AWS Morning Brief for Monday, September 23rd. I'm Cloud Economist Corey Quinn, coming at you from San Francisco. This episode is sponsored in part by O'Reilly's VelocityConf. If you want to get ahead today, your organization needs to be cloud native. That's obvious enough that even Gartner sees it. The 2019 Velocity program in Berlin runs from November 4th through the 7th. It will cover everything from Kubernetes to things you'll actually use, like site reliability engineering, observability, and performance, to give you a comprehensive understanding of applications and services. If you'd like to attend, visit velocityconf.com/AWS and use the discount code AWS for a pile of money off. My thanks to VelocityConf for sponsoring this ridiculous podcast. So what did AWS get up to last week? Well, a lot of things. For starters, they launched the NoSQL Workbench for Amazon DynamoDB, and in typical preview fashion, it proceeded to stomp the AWS credentials file on Windows boxes. So if you tried this thing and suddenly wondered why you couldn't log into anything, you figured out why that is by listening to this podcast. It's already paid for itself. Amazon API Gateway now simplifies invoking private APIs. Good. Frankly, there's not too many changes you can make to API Gateway that doesn't result in a simplification somewhere, because my God, have you tried using it for anything? Amazon Athena adds support for inserting data into a table using the results of a select query or using a provided set of values. Today I learned that Amazon Athena is not strictly read-only. Amazon CloudFront announces a new edge location in Shenzhen, China, but they already have several there, meaning this is yet again a non-issue release that just serves to bolster numbers. Why? Because everything's terrible. Amazon EKS provides EKS-optimized AMI metadata via SSM parameters. What does that mean? Well, you take the AMI, or as Amazon will mispronounce it, AMI, and you get the latest EKS optimized version. In other words, the version that they have updated most recently that will in turn let you have a lot of the heavy lifting already baked in for you. The thing is, you don't want that. Why? Because you're running EKS, which means you're using Kubernetes, which in turn means you like doing things the hard way, so why on earth would you deviate from that now? Speaking of EKS, it now supports cluster tagging. Those tags now let you organize things in a number of different ways and apparently control security access because everything is terrible. Will it help you with cost tagging? Absolutely not. These tags do not support that yet because, once again, everything's awful. Moving a half step over away from EKS before I begin foaming at the mouth, Amazon Elastic Inference is now available in ECS tasks. Awesome, because if there's one problem we've had, it's not being able to burn more money on our containerized workloads as they continue to tilt at the windmill of machine learning, and also Bitcoin. Amazon Redshift announces automatic workload management and query priorities. Wow, it's like they're actually starting to use it for something other than its intended purpose, which was a sharp stick driven directly into Oracle's fat, sweaty neck. Amazon S3 has announced same-region replication. That's right. Historically, if you wanted to have ongoing replication from one bucket to another in the same region, you had to replicate it to another region and then back to your existing region. Why did they finally release this after so many years of requesting it? It has nothing to do with you, the customer, but everything to do with wanting to stick it to the network transfer team. That's right, because people wanted to see more money spent on S3 and not going to back and forth between regions because someone in the networking team irritated the wrong person. That's my working theory. Amazon Workspaces introduces Workspaces Restore to the last known healthy state, because these are a bunch of Windows boxes, and generally the best thing to do in most cases to maintain them is to give up and revert to the last known good state. Why? Because Windows is fundamentally stupid. Let's talk for a second about something that isn't stupid, namely Chaos Search in all caps. That part might be a little ill thought out, but Chaos Search the service isn't. it acts as an Elasticsearch drop-in replacement from an API compatibility perspective, but instead of having to deal with the living hell that is Elasticsearch, instead, your data lives in S3, and ChaosSearch provides an API on top of it. With similar latency profiles and at about 20% of the cost, it's really worth looking into if you're dealing with Elasticsearch and are tired of hating yourself. Those are my words, not theirs, but you know they're thinking it. My thanks to ChaosSearch for sponsoring this ridiculous episode. For more, visit chaossearch.io. AWS Elemental Media Connect adds ability for content owners and subscribers to share the cost of live video entitlements. What this means is that content owners can now specify the percentage of data transfer costs assigned to themselves and what percentage gets assigned to subscribers. The idea behind this is that it lets content owners share the cost of content syndication with subscribers to reduce expenses and simplifying billing. That's what it sounds like when Amazon lies directly to your face. Having a proportional billing approach go to you and a different percentage to someone else does several things, but in no way does it simplify anything. Have anyone at AWS ever had to pay for something or deal with an accountant and try and explain these things? I'm betting not. The AWS Marketplace makes it easier to find solutions from the AWS console, and there has never been a better time to try my favorite marketplace scam. Allow me to explain. Now, if you want to wind up effectively embezzling money from your employer via AWS, the idiot, naive, moron approach is to spin up a bunch of things and mine Bitcoin on them. That's a terrific way to get caught. My preferred approach is to use the marketplace. Go ahead and spin up some random instance in the marketplace that is a one-to-one clone of CentOS or Amazon Linux or whatever it is that makes sense in your environment. Then anonymously write a blog post that explains how to do a thing that you do in your environment, but make sure it references that marketplace AMI. Now, then you charge 5 or 10 cents per hour that this thing runs in your environment. And if you ever wind up getting called on it, you just play stupid and point to that anonymous blog post. I just followed the buttons. See, no one's going to trace it back to you. I take no responsibility for you doing that. And frankly, it's fun to think about, but let's not kid ourselves here. Ethics do matter. I know, it's tech. Some of you may not believe that, but it's true. AWS Step Functions adds support for dynamic parallelism in workflows. My friends who use Step Functions are over the moon excited about this, but I couldn't possibly care less because Step Functions are A, annoying, B, difficult, and C, expensive. So I've never bothered to get into them in the first place. Amazon EC2 has launched another generation of their G instances. These are G4s that offer NVIDIA T4 Tensor Core GPUs, the most cost-effective GPU platform for machine learning, inference, and graphics-intensive applications. But let's not kid ourselves, it's going to be used for mining cryptocurrency, ideally in other people's AWS accounts. So, speaking to the last item, if ethics have completely passed you by, go ahead and spin some of these up in someone else's account and get to work. Lastly, they have an article on how to use AWS Secrets Manager to securely store and rotate SSH key pairs, because there's nothing like new and expensive solutions to old problems. Don't do that. Instead, use Secrets Manager as a drop-in replacement for DynamoDB. First, each record will cost you 40 cents a month. Secondly, there's a hard limit of 700 queries per second, which means you need to scale horizontally across multiple accounts. Why would you do this? Because honestly, my idea of using Route 53 as a database is getting slightly old. So that's all that happened last week in the wide world of AWS. My name is Corey Quinn, and I'm a cloud economist. If you have a horrifying AWS bill, drop me a line. You can find me at lastweekinaws.com. My thanks to VelocityConf and ChaosSearch for sponsoring this ridiculous episode, and I'll talk to you next week. If you've enjoyed this episode, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes. If you've hated this episode, please leave a 5-star review in iTunes.
This has been a Humble Pod production. Stay humble.